You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this thing. Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the Intertubes, and from our other hit vodcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get in the top 10. You may also go to Ustream and subscribe to our vodcast as well. You can go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I retire.
You can't retire.
Why not?
Co-hosts of Ardent Atheist is a lifetime position.
Well, maybe I'm getting too old for this shit.
So you just quit?
Well, if people don't subscribe, I will.
Who does that?
The Pope.
Oh.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you Hitler youth cross-dressing, pedo-protecting quitter. We're coming to you live from the second floor of the fabulous John Lovitz Comedy Club on the GoCast Network, high atop the hill of Universal City Walk in sunny Universal City, California. That's really long.
Yeah.
In the Universal City tonight, we have John Wing, Dan Telfer, and coming to us via telephone, National Atheist Party founder Troy Boyle is with us. You know these guys from showbiz. Thanks for being here, everybody.
What a pleasure. What a blessing. What a joy divine.
It's funny. I think most people think you're being sarcastic, John.
No, I'm leaning.
I know, right?
I'm leaning on the everlasting atheist.
A non-believer, I believe. You are a non-believer.
Yeah.
Agnostic?
Not
is that
quite
what you're
atheist yet, but agnostic. So.
All right.
We'll get there.
We'll get you there. Yeah. Dan, what do you believe?
Hi. Oh, I'm definitely an atheist.
You've been an atheist for most of your life,
very
right?
Early childhood.
I'm very excited to talk about
this. As far back as I can remember, yeah.
Right. And I know that Troy, are you with us? I'm not hearing Troy Boyle.
I think he tried to call you on your cell phone when you were doing the intro. So
really?
Maybe we can see if he had a problem.
I see.
Yeah.
It looks like he might have.
Yeah.
We could call him, actually. Shall I give you his number? Let's dial him into the phone. We can't call out?
No.
All right. Well,
it's the first time we're doing this, so it's a test.
Not the first time we're doing this. It's the first time we're doing the call thing.
That's what I'm saying. The call thing here. It's the first time we're doing this.
I totally followed what you were going for.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I got it. You're not infallible or quitting. We never said we were.
Right.
What? Okay.
Why don't you carry the show? While I figure this out.
Okay, we're going to figure this out, and I'm going to carry the show. So, you're both atheists, are you?
Half of us. He said, you're more of an agnostic?
More of an agnostic. I need proof for stuff.
Did you used to be religious? Did you grow up religious?
I grew up religious, yes.
Okay.
Catholic.
Yeah, and did you believe in ghosts as well and all that other stuff?
Ghosts, well, I didn't like watching The Wizard of Oz. The witch scared me.
It scared you. So did you have those kinds of beliefs when you were a Christian or a religious, some Catholic? See how I'm just winging
it
right now?
I don't know.
I'm curious that you brought up the ghost part. Like, do you think that's a big part of like the whole belief system that they just... Because I remember when I went to Catholic school... They were big on being like, the Holy Ghost is like it's the exception to the, there's no real ghosts, but like that's like a special arrangement.
Just that holy one.
Well, a lot of people who believe in a god or an invisible being could easily believe in ghosts as well.
Yeah, but doesn't like
spirits.
The Catholic doctrine kind of go like, no, you go to heaven or hell or maybe purgatory or something.
Well,
like,
I'm not Catholic, so I wouldn't know.
Well, you don't have to be Catholic.
That's
to
where
know,
he,
right?
He comes
it starts
in.
There. The idea, the disbelief starts there. We had a thing when I was a kid. If you didn't go to heaven or hell, you went to purgatory, but that meant
right. You
could get out at some point.
Right.
And get into heaven. And then there was...
But you couldn't come back and be a ghost, right?
No.
That was silliness.
There were babies who didn't get baptized, who died before they were baptized.
Yeah.
So they couldn't go to heaven.
No,
so
they were just in purgatory.
They went to a place called Limbo.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that is just stupid.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I wasn't brought up raised. I wasn't brought up.
You weren't brought up or raised.
I wasn't either.
Liberal's like purgatory, but it's got like Where's Waldo books and like and Red Dog
chess.
Books
and high jump dancing.
Yeah. Bouncy castles.
Oh, good. I would like to go there.
I believe we have Troy on the line, if I'm
yes.
not mistaken.
Push the middle button.
Oh, hey, push Troy. The middle button? Yeah. All right.
Hey, Troy, welcome to limbo.
It's red. Yeah. Troy, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ladies
yes.
and gentlemen, Troy hey. Boyle, the National hey. Atheist Party founder. Now, right off the bat, first of all, Troy, I know that you want to talk about some of your events. Let's make sure we remember to do that. But before the show began, I mentioned that National Atheist Party founder Troy Boyle was going to be on. And John Wing and I, we found ourselves discussing the name of your group. It sounds a little, I don't know, kind of...
Well, National Atheist, National Anything sounds a bit too Nazi.
A little Nazi-esque.
Yeah, don't mean you're Nazis.
Do you have people complaining about the name of of your group?
Well, you know, when I founded the group in February of 2011, I called it the Free Thought Party.
Oh, I like that.
That's better.
I like that.
That's not bad.
And
why'd you change?
The membership hated it.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, they argued about it in the threads online day after day after day. And then so we decided rather than just, you know, pick a name at random and force it on people, that we would have an election and let people write in the name that they wanted to see.
Right.
And then they would pick from those choices.
So you want was the name of the people.
Right.
This
exactly.
is always the way to go.
You know what was second? Oh. Boyle's Law.
Well, Troy, that's, you know, what's in a name? I know you're doing a lot of good work out there. You're certainly spreading the word of reason and critical thought. And you have an event coming up. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have our annual convention. This will be our second annual convention in San Francisco on March 9th. We're calling it NAPCON 13.
All right. Another fine name.
And, yeah,
got a comic.
It's going to be kind of a mini reason rally. Jamila Bey is our keynote speaker, and nice. Aaron Ra will be there. Aaron Ra, rather, I should say.
Yeah, get the name right, motherfucker. That
yeah.
guy does not stand still for mispronunciations of his absolutely impossible to pronounce name.
Aaron Ra.
It's Aaron, and it's spelled in a funky way. How do you spell it? Do you know? Troy?
I think it's A-R-O-N.
Yeah, A-R-O-N.
Aaron.
What?
That's Aaron.
It is Aaron, right?
Sorry. Sorry, Aaron.
Yeah, he gets really mad when you call him Arian.
I think he was a character on Star Trek at one time.
Still is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he's in space.
So, Troy, what goes on at these conventions you put on, you know, besides eating babies?
Well, of course, there is that with the fundraising luncheon, but we have performers. We have Shelley Segal coming
Yay!
From Australia.
Yeah, I've been on our show many times.
She's awesome. And Graydon Square will be there.
Nice.
And I believe Dusty Smith and, you know, just a general hoosegow of godless people having a good time.
Right. So... You know, one of the things that's been going on in our community, not just the atheist community, but the skeptic community, is the argument about what it means to be, and we'll stick to atheist community for this discussion, what it means to be atheist, and who's doing it right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. My opinion, just right out of the gate, is everybody's doing it right.
That's how I feel. I think that whatever it means to be atheist to you, whether that means sit at home and don't go to church, or whether that means stand on a stoop and scream, stop believing the bullshit, you assholes, or writing a book or putting out a movie or any of the various things that we all do based on the fact that we've discovered that religion is a lie and atheism makes sense, as long as we're being honest and accurate, I think we're being good atheists. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think that You know, some people say, well, you have to take this real hard scientific line, and everything's evidence-based, and you know or you don't know, and you can have no beliefs. And I can understand that point of view and maybe even sympathize with it, but just because that's the way I came to atheism or the way you came to atheism doesn't mean that everybody gets to the same destination via the same route.
Right, right.
Some people go through banking.
That's exactly right. So, although I will tell you, I don't mind when people stand up to bad ideas in our community. You know, there's a difference between atheism plus is the only way to do it. And for the record, I don't really know that anybody on the atheism plus side ever actually said those words. But there's this weird implication. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
But the. Dusty Smith and I, for example, I outed a video he created where this is unrelated to atheism, but he's selling what I consider to be, appears to be a scam, and I'm inviting him to prove to me that he's not lying about having made millions off of this air quote system that he has developed, and he's selling at different tiers, $100 to get in. If you wait too long, then it's going to be another, you know, like another $100, and then eventually it's up to, I don't know, $1,000 or something. And this autopilot system where you copy and paste links, and it's, when you look it up, it's kind of a, it appears to be kind of in the Ponzi scheme kind of world, you know. I thought it was a pyramid. I'm wrong about that. I should make a public statement. I called it a pyramid scheme, and I don't believe that's what it is now upon closer inspection. But he said something to me on my wall. He goes, "We atheists should be sticking together, not backbiting." And, you know, I don't agree with that concept. I certainly think that we atheists all should be doing whatever we want to do as atheists. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're an atheist out there and you're running any kind of a scam, I'm a skeptic. And if I see it, I'm going to call you out on it. And that's
why
I
agree with that. You know, I can support your atheism, but if you're selling heroin to 4-year-olds, then I'm going
to.
No, you know,
we need to stick together, man. Stick together, Troy.
There should be at least 8. Four years old is way too young.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk to a 4-year-old, 4-year-olds love needles.
And where do they get the money? Come on. 8-year-olds at least can work in some countries.
Troy, where do they find you? Give me some links. Let's tell the folks how they can come to your events.
Sure. You can come to our standalone website at www.usanap.org, or you can find us on Facebook at national.atheist.party.
There you go. Troy, thank you so much for calling in. I'm sorry it was so hard to get you into the show off the top there. It turns out it was my fault. The phones are right here in front of me. It was apparently flashing, and all I had to do was hit a fucking button. So, not Dick, the guy who's running our board, not his fault. Troy, thanks for calling. And anytime you have something you want to talk about that you guys are doing, please let me know. Call us back.
And if you're ever in the area.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I hope you can make it out to NAPCON.
Yeah, exactly where is NAPCON taking place? He said that, and I forgot.
San Francisco.
It's in San Francisco?
It's going to be at the South San Francisco Center.
Right. I'll tell you what. Let's you and I, Troy, let's talk off air about the possibility of me throwing a couple comics together and putting adding something to your event. That's what it would take to
and
get me
up
there.
Maybe another singer.
Yeah. Heather sings. Heather sings.
Nice.
You know, Heather's the lead singer of the No God Band. I don't know if you've been to Tam and seen her do that, but...
They're really,
no, I haven't.
They're really
I'd
God
to.
For a no God band.
Yeah, they are.
it's Penn Jillette's band. He plays bass and sings, and
right.
I'm the lead female singer.
Yep,
cool.
And she does it scantily clad. Troy, thanks for calling.
On that note,
thank you guys.
Yeah,
all right, brother. We'll see you later.
Bye bye.
The phone actually says drop right there. I got to hit the call to drop. It seems aggressive.
You've never been a secretary before.
Disconnect would be fine, or goodbye, or. Have a pleasant day.
A button that says
goodbye. I'm dropping you.
I feel really bad about this, the button.
Anyway, that's Troy Boyle. Check out his organization, the National Atheist Party. He's the founder and a damn good guy.
Nap.
Unless he's selling kids.
Nap. Nap. Such a bad acronym.
Are you picking on the name Nap now?
Nap. It's just bad, man.
N-A-A-P?
Sounds tiring.
Is it? Yeah, I guess. Anyway, more after this unavoidable interruption. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on the GoCast Network, ardentatheist.com, and available at the iTunes store. We'll be right back after Heather says this and we hear some crap.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mary, ROAD.com/Emery, and get a slice of comedy that should never have been made, let alone sold to living human beings.
We'll be back after these advertisements.
You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Hey guys, this is Danny Trejo, and when I'm in Huntington Beach, I go to my favorite restaurant, The Second Floor. The Second Floor has my favorite food, and man, you'd have to see their colossal burgers. You need a damn machete just to cut them. And they were just voted the best fusion art restaurant. Tattoo art from some of the biggest names like Jack Rudy and Rick Walters. Every Thursday night, art shows featuring legends to local artists come in. And you can meet them in person. You can buy the art right off the walls. And all sales go right to the artists. After 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, well-known DJs spinning an eclectic mix of music. And you gotta check out their late-night menu. Go visit them on the web. Check out their great menu, upcoming art shows, and your favorite DJ. Located at 126 Main Street, downtown Huntington Beach. Second floor. I'll see you there.
Hey, this is Gary Busey. Not sure where I am right now, but I know that I'm listening to the interview with Fraser Smith on the GoCast Network.
Before you hit fast forward, listen to this.
It's the big hot rockin', nonstop, and less talkin', boss shockin', hit knockin', finger poppin', yankin', crankin', hiney spankin', wham bam, thank you, ma'am. 50,000-watt blowtorch of rock and roll. That is the Dick and Darren Show.
Dick and Darren downloaded 185 episodes. It's pretty good for you. You'll like it. Up in your ear hole.
On the GoCast Network.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
And now back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with John Wing, Dan Telfer, and Troy Boyle, who was there earlier, but he's not anymore. Thanks for being here, guys. Dan, I got to start with you, actually. How old were you when you realized there was no God? I have some insider information here.
Yeah, that's right, because you talked to our mutual
Matt
friend.
Kirshen, the man who sleeps at my house when he's on this side of the pond.
Shows up in a towel sometimes.
Oh,
yeah, he's
gross.
Been on the show a couple times. One of these times I'm going to have him hanging out here in a towel and just walk in and join
that
us.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yep.
I gave away the gag, though.
Yes, you did.
Edit that out, Dick, will you? So, how old were you?
As far back as I can remember. Like, literally, like 3 and a half, 4 years old. I just remember someone trying to explain religion to me and then being like, okay, so, but then there's also outer space and oceans and volcano. And like, and I just remember okay, so what's the goal is like, oh, so there's somebody watching. Like, God just seemed really needy, like right away. Like, why would somebody so powerful want so much?
Right.
I was just like, that's just
and we're talking
silly.
We're like, talking like preschool and grade school.
Oh,
adults,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because I started
how
at
cool is
a Catholic preschool, and I stayed at that school till fourth grade. And the whole time, like every time it came up, it was just like, that does not compute at all. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. And it just made me, especially because I was a weird kid and I had a lot of weird interests, like I was way too inquisitive, and like I would get in trouble.
You're one of those.
Yeah, yeah, I would get in trouble, and like I would make a lot of stupid assumptions about how it worked because of how confusing it was.
Right.
One of my earliest memories is being really confused about how they made the glass in churches, because I heard that if lightning strikes the beach, that's how glass is made. Like, you know how, like,
right,
sand.
Right, right.
But, like, that's just the plasma, like, makes just, like, a little streak of glass. It's not how we make all
art.
Glass. But I thought, like, the way they made this, like, those, like, crazy artistic stained glass windows in a church, like,
was
the
lightning.
Church of my school was, like, a bunch of people collecting glass, getting hit by lightning, and it just seemed really dangerous, and it stressed me out.
Even the ones that were in different shapes of people.
Yeah, I was like, I thought, like, they had to, like, get little pieces of special colors and then, like, file them down. I invented this whole system.
I used to do that when I was younger.
for the windows. And then I remember just asking them about it, and they were like, no, that doesn't make sense. And then I would get in trouble because they were like, you're just trying to, like, start problems. Like, there's no way anybody cares about this.
The lightning hit the glass and randomly came up with an image of Christ in blue and
yellow. I thought, like, because I would look at one that had, like, a little bit of flesh color and be like, oh, they must have found, like, a brick of flesh-colored glass and a brick of blue, and then they had to, like, I was so dumb.
A brick of glass?
That's not dumb, actually. That's yeah, taken. That's the opposite. What'd you say?
No, glass bricks. She's wrong.
A brick of glass.
Yeah, no, it's.
It's because I didn't know, and then I brought it up with somebody who worked at the church at the school.
Yeah.
Like confrontationally, I was way more confrontational as a child than I am as an adult.
Really?
But yeah, so I was just like, this seems wrong. Like, you guys shouldn't make glass this way. Like, you just shouldn't. And they were like, ooh, like, you are really.
You're an idiot.
Precocious in the dumbest way.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And
the opposite is true. You were actually doing logic.
I was trying.
You had the information maybe slightly inaccurate,
well,
and therefore
nobody knew or wanted to explain it to me. So I, like, my brain desperately invented something, and I felt the same way. Anytime somebody was like, "Someone's watching over you," you know, everything you do is being. I'm like, I know what's right and wrong. Like, why? Yeah. Why do I need somebody assisting me? Like, it just immediately felt like bad programming. Like, immediately felt like. Like, this is for people who need help figuring out what right and wrong is. Like,
right.
This is like, and yeah, I as an adult, I'm much more of like a Neil deGrasse Tyson atheist. But as a child, I got really angry, like, a lot of the time.
Really?
Because of how frustrating it was to be asked to believe this.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, told to believe it.
Well, yeah, that's the creepiest part. I was lucky my parents are both agnostic and kind of were at the time. It was just a matter of, isn't it great how, like, religious school is so much better than public school. So my parents worked really hard to get me in a better school, and that meant going to a Catholic one.
Well, yeah, Hitchens put his daughter, and I don't know if he has more than one kid or not, but
just one.
One in a Quaker school. And my mom, who had become an atheist in her 60s, when she heard this, called me and said, "What the hell is Hitchens doing?" And I went, I think he's just trying to get the best education he can for his kids.
Yeah.
And he's trusting his genes. That's a thing that I think is important. Trust your genes.
He had more to do with the curriculum, I'm sure.
Of course. Well, it had a lot to do with his celebrity, too. I know that when it comes to a child whose parents are really highly well-known and recognized, you got to find the right schools that will stick to whatever rules the parents lay out for that kid interacting with the world.
Well, my mom told me that, well, she asked me if I wanted to go to Hebrew school or Christian school, and I took public.
You preferred public?
I chose public.
And look where it got you.
I know. Yeah. I don't be saying things good. So good.
You know,
what?
I went all the way. I was an altar boy.
Catholic then.
I eventually was the apprentice to the organ leader, to this choir master, and I played the organ at the off time masses.
You played with the master's organ?
Not exactly, but I'll tell you something. The first thing, there were a couple of things. The first one for me was when I was informed that masturbation was a sin, and I remember thinking, wait a minute. The one thing I do in my life that I enjoy at this time, I'm 13 or whatever it is, the one thing I like to do that gives me pleasure, and this is a sin. Okay, I'm having trouble with that. And then I was at an organ lesson. There were three of us apprenticing to play the organ, and the other two eventually quit. And one of them was a girl, and she was very sexy for 13 and very developed. And after the lesson, I was in the choir loft. I went down to the main floor of the church, and I went around and walked the Stations of the Cross, which is a series of frescoes all along one wall and then up the other wall.
Yeah, and all of them made, by the way, by lightning. I don't know if you.
Yes,
know.
All.
Yeah,
of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Lightning hit a rock and it turned into this fresco. Anyway, I'm getting around the Passion of Jesus, and he's going, and then I get to this one. They've laid the cross down, and the caption says, "Jesus is stripped of his clothes."
Mm-hmm.
And I got a boner.
Really?
And I thought, it was so erotic.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is probably not right. To get a boner in church. It was the only boner I ever got in church. And I never walked by that particular Station of the Cross again without remembering.
That you had got.
You thought that was hot, didn't you?
Right. Did that make you worry about your sexuality?
I was going to ask that.
No.
It went in. It was inward rather than, you weren't looking at that going, all right, naked guy.
No,
you were
the fact that he was stripped.
Someone was stripping him. He was stripping. People were taking his clothes off.
And that fired a synapse for you.
Baby. Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And to this day, it's what it takes for you to get off, isn't it?
Jesus.
Well,
you got to have a bunch of peasants cleaning your feet.
How many stigmatas does it take before you
know, I like to have a sword in my side and blood and water pour out, and then boom, I come like a geyser.
Mr. Owl. How many stigmatas does it? Let's find out.
But it just, you begin, and then as you grow into the church, I tried to take my kids when they were younger.
Why did you do that? I'm always amazed by that.
Well, because you want, you don't have any kids, right?
I have one. Oh. I have one adult, and he has two kids.
Yeah, yeah. I would never take them to church.
I have Emery.
You know,
did you get that?
So true.
My kids did not grow up where I grew up in any way. And they did not grow up, and my wife and I don't have a relationship like my parents had. So there was nothing in their lives when they were little or now that was like my childhood except for me.
Right.
And I baptized them both, and then I started taking them, but I couldn't handle it. I stopped taking them because I would want to scream bullshit.
What's the wife believe? Were you dealing with that?
My wife is also an agnostic. I was not raised in any religion.
Right.
So, but...
Why were you taking them?
I still don't have a reason.
Some sort of continuity.
Really?
It was what I did. And
did
maybe...
part of you, I don't want to plant my concerns here, but tell me if I'm even close. Were you thinking this is an easy way to instill some morality into the kids?
No.
No?
No.
You know better than that.
Yeah.
A lot of people fall for this.
But it's a way to, like, meet people, right? Like, you can just get out.
I know what it was.
Have a sphere of...
He was going, there will eventually be... you have a boy and a girl? Is that what you...
You got two girls. It was a couple of hours a week I could spend with them, just me and them. That's part of it.
Yeah.
And give her
Go
2 hours off.
Go bowling or something.
Yeah, yeah. And it was what I did. I stopped going for a while. It was on again, off again for me. But the last time, it was the mid-90s, and gay rights were starting to really make a big move, and these people were all against it.
Right.
And the more I found I disagreed with them so much, I couldn't, in good conscience, keep doing it, so I stopped.
Did your girls end up religious? How old are they?
They're both atheists.
Okay. They're both avowed atheists.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
And you know, I told an
trust your genes.
I told an old Catholic friend that when my daughter came out as an atheist,
right.
I told him my older daughter was an atheist, and we haven't really talked much since.
It happens. It's really sad that happens.
I realized it would have been smarter to tell her she was a lesbian. Tell him she was
really?
A lesbian.
Right.
Because
he would at least thought that was sexy.
He could have accepted that.
Is she?
Right. It's artistic.
Wait, I need to know if she is.
No, she's not.
Oh, okay, cool. As far as you know.
No, they're neither of them. They're both hetero,
okay.
As far as I know.
Cool.
But
two kids, Dan?
Yeah, yeah.
And you would never take them to church. This
well,
is so
you know,
odd, right?
I would never take them to, like, a church for the sake of taking them to church.
You'd let them go, though, if they wanted to go?
Well, we'll see.
How old are they?
Four and three quarters and, like, a year.
Okay.
But, like, you know, the older one, we took her once because my uncle-in-law was just getting this, like, opportunity to speak in front of a church in England, and they're way, you know, the Anglican church is just so laid back and barely, that's all about community, like they don't even care about, which is why I brought it up with him, like maybe just the belief part was nothing, and like my uncle and aunt-in-law were totally cool with my wife and I being atheists, like they were just like, yeah, like come hang out, like who cares, and because my uncle was getting this like award and like giving a chance to speak to the community, I was like, yeah, if religion's barely a part of it, then yeah, I'll bring my daughter was like 2 at the time. I'm like, she can come, and she just ran around and hung out. I mean, like I
you gave it a lot of thought though, didn't you?
Not really. Not because I knew who my aunt and uncle and mom were really cool people, and that this was not going to be like a Catholic thing with sacraments. Because I've been to like like, you know, Baptist churches before, and like I've seen some crazy shit. And
speaking in tongues.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know how bad it gets, and I knew it wouldn't be that. So, but like, as far as like, yeah, would I take them to like a Sunday or Christmas service just for the sake of doing? No, never, never, never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Evangelicals do it too.
Yeah,
not just Pentecostals.
I tried to find a church that I could deal with what they said.
Yeah.
And I tried Lutheran, I tried Episcopalian, and I just thought, this is silly.
Right.
Tried that on my own.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's funny. My mom, the first church I remember us going to was an all-black church, and my mom was the only white person in the church. And then eventually we moved to an all-white church, and then I was like the only black person in the church. It was kind of strange. I felt...
We went to a black church for Easter once with some friends, and it was great. Great theater.
Yeah,
great
for real.
Music, great right. theater. They give it up. They right. let it go. I like that.
Yeah, but that's all it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and like I was just gonna say, like I keep talking about community, but then that is sort of the creepy part of the community. It's very okay, well, who's invited to this one, you know? And like the fact that you stick out at all is a shame. Like why? What's the point if you're gonna cater so much to one little niche?
The white church spoke in tongues more than the black church did,
boy.
And they kind of expected you to also follow suit. Which
yeah, but
I could
to the white
bring
people,
myself to do it.
To the white people, the black people sound like they're speaking in tongues.
Very funny.
I'm always amazed by a guy who found, who dismissed religion as early as you did, Dan. I'm always stunned by it. I think it's really awesome.
It just
awesome.
Doesn't, like, I always wanted to ask a lot of questions, and I just remember as soon as I started asking questions, people didn't really have answers, and mm-hmm. I remember hitting this point where I was like, okay, I'm going back to Catholic school. I went back for one semester at a Catholic high school. I'm like, I'm going to just supposedly a better high school, but I'm going to stick through this and I'm going to see how long I can. And I just immediately was at odds with the theology teachers. It's immediately just like trying not to ask questions just because I knew I was going to be a little Mr. Secret atheist. But at that point, I'm 13. I'm like, I know what I am at this point. I have a word for it and everything. But like, just this, anytime I brought up any question, like, okay, you're teaching us about other religions. Then what? Why would you even? I was like, I even asked, I'm like, why are you bothering to teach us if you're saying one is best? And he was like, well, because we want to make sure you understand other people's
way. Or the only way, right?
Yeah, and I was like, well, then if you believe other people have a right to what they believe, shouldn't that immediately just cancel out any of them being
right?
Like that part alone doesn't make sense to me. Like I don't understand how one religion can respect other religions and still be like, well, but we're the only one that counts. Like that part.
The
just,
problem was you weren't polite.
Because
that's what religion relies on. Religion,
I like being polite now as an adult, though.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Religion and hard sales rely on politeness. Politeness is one of the scourges of our society. When we're conditioned to be polite, we'll sit there, we'll let idiots say bullshit and convince all the people around us of bullshit, and we'll politely let it happen. And that's the fucking problem.
You're talking about acquiescence.
Yes,
so we
are.
All
that's exactly
right. Assholes.
Well, and that's
not assholes,
the hard part with kids is like so many of them have questions, and I feel like everyone is conditioned to just tell kids to be quiet
right.
and like that. It's still such an antiquated, like, 1890s like idea of how we should treat kids, like to just sit them in a chair and make them listen.
Right.
Like their questions are good. Like we can
most
remember
of the time,
what it's like to be that inquisitive.
Right.
When I'm polite to someone who's religious and is talking to me about their religion, it's because I am too lazy to get into it with them. I just don't even feel like it. I just, yes, that's great. You believe whatever
and
you
like. And that's
why
I try to be polite as an adult, because like I feel like that's such a conversation ender with so many people when you mention that you're an atheist. Like, it just, like immediately they're just like, oh, here we go. Like,
right.
I've already fought through that a million times.
Right.
Like, I don't want to do it a million and one times. Like, okay, if you want to have a conversation with me, then I will happily just leave this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, either that or they want to start a conversation and you're just like, oh,
well,
God.
Yeah. And then, like, every conversation they want to start is about, like, the things you surely don't know.
Right.
And it's like, I've sat through enough.
I know it all so far. Nobody is hitting me with any surprises from the Bible. I've read both fucking Bibles. I've also read some of the Quran. I've read some Bhagavad Gita. You're not going to surprise me with your new revelation that you think is amazing. That's
like,
the bottom.
You're still waiting to get scooped up by all this.
Hey, listen, when they think that Satan is the reason that you're confused, and that's a lot of it, you know.
Everybody searches, though.
Be great.
There's no question.
And I think we all have this amazing capacity to believe something in the gut without proof.
Yeah,
I know, and I'm not talking about religion necessarily.
No. It's a fundamental part of survival. It's how we Instinct. It's how we've gotten to where we are.
Absolutely.
And I always say, guess what? We don't need it anymore. We can move on from that particular effect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More on that after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on GoCast Network, ardentatheist.com, and available at the iTunes Store. We'll be right back.
Good news, everyone.
We have a premium service. We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. Every once in a while, I get an email. I got one today from someone saying, I just don't have any way to give you $10. In fact, this particular email today was from a guy who doesn't have a PayPal account, and I think he's in Africa. So we give it away, and we're able to fund it because some people give more than $10. Thanks for that. If you want to give us more money, we will give away some subscriptions to the needy, so be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. And please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Hey, guys, this is Danny Trejo, and when I'm in Huntington Beach, I go to my favorite restaurant, The Second Floor. The Second Floor has my favorite food, and man, you have to see their colossal burgers. You need a damn machete just to cut them. And they were just voted the best fusion art restaurant. Tattoo art from some of the biggest names like Jack Rudy and Rick Walters. Every Thursday night, art shows featuring legends to local artists come in, and you can meet them in person. You can buy the art right off the walls, and all sales go right to the artists. After 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, well-known DJs spinning an eclectic mix of music, and you gotta check out their late-night menu. Go visit them on the web. Check out their great menu, upcoming art shows, and your favorite DJ. Located at 126 Main Street, downtown Huntington Beach. Second Floor. I'll see you there.
This is Gabriel Iglesias,
the alternative Iglesias, not the one that sings romantic ballads, the silly one.
That's right. I'm hanging here with my boy Roddy Piper on the Rod Pod. Listen up, or you're going to get choked out.
Buck Starr here, Greg Seitz, whatever my name is, Greg Buck Starr Seitz, CEO of GoCast Network.
And I'm Gary Garver, formerly of, I don't even want to mention that asshole's name, from the GoCast Network, program director of the GoCast Network.
Weren't you on Journey?
Yeah, that was it. Sammy Hagar, they say.
Sammy Hagar. And you know what? We got some sick new technology. You can check us out with Viddy.
What the hell's Viddy, Greg? I have no idea what that is.
Viddy is Instagram, Twitter combined for a great 15-second video experience where you'll see awesome clips and fun stuff.
Wow, I can't wait to check that out. Where do we go?
Viddy.com? I think so.
Okay, cool.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
Now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with John Wing and Dan Telfer. Again, guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Look at that beautiful pitcher of water.
I wanted to tell a story. When I was in grade school, the priest, we had a new priest, and he came in for question time with the grade twos or grade threes, third graders, I think. And I put my hand up and I said, if you inherited $1 million, would you still be a priest? Would you stay a priest?
Wow.
And he went through this long spiel about how it wouldn't affect him and the bow of poverty and all this. And then he said, I think I would stay a priest. And I put my hand up again and he said, I'm sorry, John, you wanted to say something? I said, could I have the money?
Nice.
if you're not going to use it, can I have it?
Right?
So I was irreverent early on.
Early on, yeah.
But I also, you got to remember, too, comedians are the least easily offended people.
Dude, when I pretended to be in a wheelchair, it was so awesome. I mean, it was a social experiment. I wanted to know what it felt like. I have a nephew who's in a wheelchair, and I know a couple other people who are in wheelchairs. And I worked with a comic, Chris Crazy Legs Fonseca, who found himself in a wheelchair. And I toured around a little bit with Chris, and I had these encounters as a guy that was watching. When you're pushing a guy in a mall, and people are so desperately afraid of of locking eyes with the guy in the wheelchair that they fucking fall over him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing. And so I pretended to be in a wheelchair for just to the comedy industry
for
2 years.
Did you get eye contact at all from people?
Oh, yeah. It was weird.
Did you not get eye contact?
It was amazing. He would come out in the wheelchair, do his whole act, and he even said to me, you know what's crazy? Mediocre jokes.
Mediocre, kill when I'm in a wheelchair.
Kill when you're in a wheelchair.
And at the end of the show, he would say something like, you can't judge a book by its cover, and get up and walk off the stage.
Well, for a while. Well, that was prior to the fake out, right?
Okay.
Which is, if you're a comic and you didn't know I was bullshitting, then you're an idiot. Because for about 3 years, I did what you're talking about, where I would use a wheelchair to do a whole set, and then I would stand up at the end of it. Then I did this thing where I pretended like I was in an accident, and I was in a wheelchair for 2 years, just fucking with the comedy industry. And I made a couple. Some people hate me today because of it. Only a few. But
stop bragging.
Right? I'm telling you,
the
man.
The right people hated you.
I don't know. It was just a couple of people got really fucking angry that I would even do such a thing.
They're in the wrong business.
Bingo. No, his name is Bingo.
Right.
But it was really a social experiment, and here's what I discovered that was really awesome. Comics were the ones that would say the direct thing without any fucking filter, without any... And that, as I understand it, if you're really locked in a wheelchair, as I understand it, that's generally preferred by folks in that situation, folks that are really locked down. They would much rather you, rather than not lock eyes with you, rather than dance around, rather than talk uncomfortably all the time, what they tend to report, at least in my experience, is just fucking talk like you would to anybody else. So if I was in an accident and I'm in a green room with John Wing, one of the first things John might say to me, and this happened a lot, is, does your cock still work? You still got a cock that works? and not, you know, not so you want to not dance around it. Just does your fucking cock work was one of the most common things that I had comics asking me. And
are you kidding? A cock work orange. Are you kidding me? I'm hard right now. I just can't feel it.
So it wasn't just that. It was direct questions about what happened and how are you and where is it going from here. And it was really nice. My favorite aspect of the whole experiment was discovering that there's this really neat, healthy thing about comics where we don't have a filter and we're not fucking being too polite. We're actually interacting on honest levels with one another. And it's really nice. It's why I like this show so much.
We don't take things personally.
Generally not.
It seems like it's a cottage industry now. Or an industry, not even cottage.
What do you mean?
Taking things personally.
Oh, it really is.
The right winger, that's all they do is go around looking for shit they can take personally.
Yeah, I don't know that it's any. I don't.
Maybe the left wing does it too.
Probably well, I think does. They all do it. I think.
It's a very political thing. Yeah, I know what I'll do. I'll throw my, you know, indignation behind this person.
Well, when you run out of logical arguments, one of the things that you can do is run into this house of offense and hide in it because that's what they're doing. That's the religion does it. Politics does it. It's really fucking awful, and it certainly doesn't help us communicate better or more healthily with one another.
It reminds me of the whole black hole that is sentimentality in general. Like, I'll be sentimental about stuff sometimes, but you, I think, have to train yourself as an adult to not get overly, like, oh, what if the past was different or now? Like, what if now
dude,
was like the past? And, like, and when, you know, whenever you get that little urge to be like, oh, like, let's think
the
about
good old
a
days.
State of mind. Just like a state of mind. Like,
man.
It's poison.
Oh, man.
It's just the best distraction from the real things we should be talking about in politics.
I decided early on that one of the things that seems to be connected with aging, and when I say aging, I mean watching people become this fucking awful old thing. You know, I have a friend, I'm not going to name him, but one time we were sitting around, he's got about 5 to 10 years on me. You know him, I'll tell you who I'm talking about after the show, but he goes, we're sitting around.
Rabbi Josephsburg? Sorry.
Me and this friend are sitting around, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago, and he goes, and what's with this new fad of all these girls shaving their pussies? He goes, why is everybody
new fad?
Yeah, right. He goes, what the fuck is? What, it might have been 10 years ago, actually, that this conversation.
I think it started in the early '90s.
It had, right? And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, it's pedophilic. He goes, if what you want is no hair down there, and I go, well, why don't you talk about it? What are you into? He goes, I'm into some bush coming out of the underwear. What the hell? And I go, that's because that's the porn you had growing up, you idiot, you jag off, you elderly fuck. And I called him out on it. And I said, you just sound like a grandfather. Why in the fuck are you becoming this? Early on in my life,
is it? Moving with the times, you could have used computers or new phones, but no, you went pussy hair.
Pussy hair.
Well, you know what I noticed.
I have friends like that too. Yeah. Mark Hawkins, I'll name him, and he's like, I'm not getting on fucking Facebook and Twitter. And I'm like, you're a comic. Get on Facebook and Twitter and stop being a dick.
What I noticed about older people is that they cry more.
They do cry more.
They cry at
emotions.
At the commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I've seen it happen.
I cry, but I cry at the oddest things. I cried at watching Frost Nixon.
What?
Well, it was. I knew the period very well. I was matriculating myself. The Langella's performance was so. It was like watching a great symphony.
Yeah,
listening to a great symphony.
Amadeus and Mozart makes me feel cry. That
movie too.
Yeah.
is a cryable movie.
Yeah,
I cry at great artistry sometimes.
Yeah, I do a lot. She's making fun of me right now. Here's the thing:
get on Facebook, get on Twitter, and shave your pubes,
fucking puss, dude. What I realized was, if you get out of the river and just stay at a particular location on the bank, that's what makes us age. We start looking back at everything upriver going, it was so much nicer there. You know, all these, my grandparents did it. My on both sides of the family, my mom started doing it, and I sometimes call her to task on it. And I see these folks, they just kind of stop moving forward. I made the mistake for a long time ago, and this rap is not fucking music. Well, guess what? Dubstep is music. Rap is music. It's all good music. All of it has something to offer.
I'm the old lady about the music.
Oh, I know. She's a cunt about music. Fuck you.
Yeah. No, I don't like modern music.
I know. You're and you call me old for crying at movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I think
I'm not. No. You're old. I'm classy.
Totally.
All right.
Totally classy.
I'm going to actually agree with that.
Thank you.
I don't mind that. But I when you start romanticizing.
Kids help with that.
The past. Yeah, the kids help. Yeah, yeah.
Because that stuff sucks.
Well, but you
do you
know
hate dubstep, John?
I don't even know what it is. but that's not because I hate things.
Right, right.
I didn't like much rap, and then I started listening to Eminem, and I thought,
he's a genius.
This guy's amazing.
That's who won.
Because you're white.
That's who won me to the rap.
No, it isn't.
I think Eminem's
it really
horrible.
Isn't.
Well, okay.
The dumbest.
I say that because of him too.
No, you know what? I'll admit, maybe it is because I'm white. But
do you like other rap now?
I don't consciously think of it that
well,
way.
Well, yeah, you can relate.
Do I like
to
other
it.
Rap? Not much.
Oh my God.
See,
for
me, I like the music I grew up with.
For me, we'll get to Dan in a minute. For me,
Eminem is the worst.
No, he's not. Eminem may be one of the most important artists in the history of music.
Named after fucking Candy Time.
Well, no, I just really. Why do you hate Eminem?
He's just dumb. He beats up his lady, and he's just like a creep. And
well, I like Jackson Brown too.
Yeah. Rhymes are lame.
They're not lame.
To me, they sound.
You know,
like,
I gotta
he's
say
got
this:
whiny, like
the majority of
like
the rhymes
weasel.
In rap are pretty lame.
Well, a lot
and
of it
he's
is
named
but
after fucking candy. He's named after your fucking. Christmas
do you know
stocking.
Any of his lyrics, Dan?
No, I know the fucking like.
There you go. Turn that up.
Go to that place to get to this one.
Come on, let's hear it.
Now some of you.
There you go.
Might still be in that place.
But it's also like he beats up a girl, so
he's
I would
trying to get out.
No, there's message, there's point, there's social statement in what
he
he's doing.
Beats up his
in the beating
lady.
Up the girl.
Yeah, sometimes there's depth to what he's saying.
Today.
You're not even you're dismissing him like.
I feel like I have a right to dismiss any artist who I find morally repulsive.
What? Okay.
You know
You don't go to Woody Allen movies either?
No. I'm pretty hardcore about that shit.
If you can tell me what's morally repulsive, you know what I'd like to do, Dan?
I already said it.
Well, if you can tell me what specifically you're talking about, because I think what you're going to find out is if you actually paid attention to a lot of the lyrics. Now, there's some early Eminem, don't get me wrong, that is fucking juvenile.
It's homophobic.
Juvenile.
You know what you're doing?
It's not homophobic.
There's
so much other
shit out there, though.
Well, you're trying to knock a guy off his religious post.
Is that what I'm doing?
You're doing it, yeah.
Because, like, there's so much else out there.
What do you love? What's so much better than Eminem?
Oh, Taylor Swift. Come on.
I dig Taylor Swift. There's nothing wrong with Taylor Swift.
My music taste is that's the thing, though. It is like religion. You like what you like.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
What I like, I don't
know. Benjolette says any music that you came to love while learning to fuck, you have to discount.
I want to like stuff, but it's like
great, isn't it?
People fuck to music? What?
That sounds complicated.
Is that a thing?
We'll talk after the show.
Okay, all right.
We'll talk after the show. I really think that Eminem is the voice of a very frustrated portion of our society, and there's no question there's shock going on there. There's a lot of shock going on there, but I think you're falling for the shock, and not.
And one that got me was
turns me off, man.
Yeah,
it just turns me off.
Did you tell us what you like? Tell me some music you did.
Yeah, I like
the. What do we have in common?
Okay, I have a perfect example. I like punk rock. I like punk rock music, right? I grew up with a Chicago punk band called Screeching Weasel.
Okay.
I love Screeching, like my whole, and I even got to meet the guitarist through theater, and like, cause he was a theater guy, and like, he's awesome, but it's hard to listen to since the lead singer he was at a show like a year and a half ago, he started punching people in the face.
I see.
He was not having a fun time at South by Southwest Festival, just started punching people in the face. Yeah, here we go, Screeching Weasel. I own every CD.
Dick's amazing.
But it's like, yeah, like, but I now
let's hear
it,
let's hear some music here. Turn that up, Dick. Let's listen to this.
This intro takes a long time. Yeah, you picked the longest
B-side.
Intro. That's I Want to Be a Homosexual.
All right. I'll tell you what. Okay, mix this well, Dick. We're going to do a break while that music plays. Go ahead. Here we go. More after this intolerable intermission. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on GoCast Network, ardentatheist.com, and available at the iTunes Store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to a few of our listeners. Cherry Teresa, Justin Harnish, Kyle Delaney, Jennifer Jones, Herbie, QQ Moore, Silverback, Derek X, Mark Nowitzki, P. Bama, Chris Elzinga, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. These were the people chatting on the award-winning Wall of Reason last week. Keep posting, everybody. We love seeing all your delicious content.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with John Wing and Dan Telfer, and we're listening to
Screeching Weasel. A band I just said I can't listen to anymore.
So you don't like him because he started punching people?
Yeah, a woman went up on stage and he like punched her in the face, and then one of the women who ran the venue went on stage and he punched her in the face.
Right.
And it just seems so bratty and stupid, I couldn't stomach listening to it. And because he then was like, what happened to punk rock? When did people become such pussies? And I'm not like a G.G. Allen fan. Like, I'm not like into that whole like,
you don't like
just the fucking beat the fuck out of each
other. Right, right, right.
Never my thing. So, yeah, like, or like maybe a better example, because I don't have so much of a flip flop on it, is Orson Scott Card.
Okay.
You know that guy, right?
I don't.
Science fiction writer, thinks homosexuality should be outlawed.
Really?
And, yeah, he's like writing comic books for.
You really put a lot of morality in your art. You look carefully.
Yeah, what's the point?
That's pretty impressive, actually.
I have a lot of people challenge me on that. A lot of people think I'm full of shit when I say this, but I don't. I can't enjoy art if I know the person who made it is a douchebag.
Wow. I don't think you're full of shit. I'm just that's not a point of view I share. I can look at art.
I think a lot of people would agree with you too.
Without worrying about the morality of the guy who made it or the girl.
You separate them.
Yeah.
They stand alone.
Separation of art and morality. Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Art and artist.
One of the people on the wall, Danielle Lucas, says, I kind of agree, and she mentions Chris Brown.
Yes, I think he's like, I. It's so easy to make fun of Chris Brown, but I still do it. I just think he's the worst.
Right.
He's and his lack of
what's the word I'm looking for? It's a super obvious word. Remorse.
Yeah.
And the fact that he keeps throwing like tantrums, like throwing garbage cans through windows and shit, like. Go fuck
yourself. Well, to put it another way, Elvis was an asshole.
Right.
But I like Elvis. Yeah.
There you go.
Ike Turner.
He was a racist.
You could be an asshole. Here's the thing. You could be an asshole, that's but if you set one. Like a public example of like, here's what I can get away with, I just lose interest in you completely.
Right.
So you didn't like The Who?
No.
The whom?
The what?
The whom, as my father used to say.
I'm also 34, so that's maybe a little before my time. The Who wasn't exactly popular when I was a teenager. So.
Right. Now, we had kind of planned on touching on the fact that this is big news, apparently. It's not happened for 600 years. The Pope is stepping down.
Yeah.
How silly is
that? He's tired.
You know, I keep seeing the same joke over and over again, the infallibility joke, right? I know that John knows a bit about the Pope and infallibility. It's not that the religion doesn't think that he's, like Jesus Christ claims, infallible, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Describe this.
I'm not sure exactly what it might be ex cathedra. Uh-huh. If he speaks in a certain place, and I believe it's called ex cathedra, I could be wrong about that, he is infallible when he speaks in a certain place or...
Right, in a specific place. Right, and I think it's meant to suggest or it implies that God is speaking through him at that place. Is that right?
Right.
And therefore, it's got to be infallible.
It's actually a
it's
stunning...
It's utter bullshit.
Well, yeah, but it's even more than utter bullshit. It's stunning. It's like, well, I'm not infallible. I never said I was infallible. However... Uh-huh. When I'm taking a shit,
right,
then I'm infallible.
At this one particular moment, yeah, when he resigned and he was, it's weird because he's speaking, I think, Latin, right? Or
yes,
right.
He was.
He's speaking in Latin, and then they have this guy over, this voice of why did they get a 20-something voice? I'm watching CNN, and he's
a young
reading.
Person was
a young
was
person, yeah.
It.
And I'm just like, this is disconcerting. It's really weird. But he apologized for any of his I don't remember his exact word, transgressions or mistakes. And then all of a sudden, all these comics are like, oh, I thought you were infallible. Come on, do some research before you write the joke.
He's the guy, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, he was gatekeeper of the doctrine.
Right.
He was John Paul's.
You're talking about the fact that he was the guy.
He was the capo.
He's protecting the pedos.
Exactly.
He's the protector.
He's the cover-up guy.
Right.
The cover-up went right to him.
Right. Before he was the Pope.
Before he was the Pope.
Yeah.
And
I can't believe that doesn't have something to do with why he's quitting.
It's a shame. He just started tweeting.
Are you suggesting he's lying?
It's so true.
Are you suggesting the Pope is
he
lying?
He started reading his at replies.
I believe he's tweeting ex cathedra tonight.
infallible tweets.
Am I saying he's lying?
I think he's lying.
Good question.
I think he's a liar.
Never believe anybody when they say something. When they say I'm stepping down to spend more time with my family, because now that we've paid off that hooker, I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, anymore. Yeah.
But it's hard to believe that the reason is ill health.
Right.
But I think he's doing it for the church.
Well,
he knows how bad it's going to look, and if he's Pope when it all comes out.
There's something coming down the pike. He's aware of it, and they're dancing out of the way.
Like the last Pope, when he got...
John Paul.
Yeah, when he got senile, he was this doddering, old, gentle little salamander sitting in that chair.
It was kind of cute.
I think this dude's he's in private had some, like, senility, like, rage fits or something.
Maybe
he's just
vanity.
Oh, shit.
It could be vanity as well.
You think?
He doesn't want to be that.
Doesn't want to look like Reagan at the end of the final years.
I think the best part is he thinks this party's done. I think he's like, this is no longer
a good thing
to be a part of.
What's weird is we're going to have an ex-Pope and a Pope walking around, which is kind of funky to me.
And so who do you want for Pope this year?
I'm voting for someone from Gilgamesh.
I think Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba?
Would make a fine... Tiny Pope.
Who do you vote for Pope?
Helen Mirren.
Oh,
they won't make her Doctor Who. Let's make her the Pope.
That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. In fact, what we're going to talk about when we come back is we're going to talk about the Saudi cleric who says baby burkas would prevent child molestation. I'm not kidding. This is a real story. Fuck the Pope. We're going to talk about the Saudi cleric who's got his head deeply in his ass. I want to thank our guests, John Wing and Dan Telfer. Also, let's say thank you very much for Troy Boyd for being here. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson.
That's me.
Tune in next week when our guest will be...
Who the hell knows?
I don't know. I haven't booked it yet. And we'll be talking about...
What am I, psychic?
No, of course you're not. This has been the free version of episode 103, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Papal Hater Swam.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Papal Bader?
Papal Bader.
I should read these.
That's
before.
A joke. What's the Papal? Papal means master, I guess.
You're paying attention.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Papal.
Papal.
Papal who need papal.
Are the luckiest papal.
S-M-M, I don't know.
Okay, we're out.